Show.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, that land of cloudless days. Oh, that land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of a land that's far away, where the tree of life is in eternal bloom, sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, that land of cloudless days. Oh, that land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Hey, Mark, shake somebody's hand this morning, will you, brother? Hi, Shaylee.
Good morning.
Third one. Oh, they tell me of a king in his beauty there, and they tell me that my eyes shall behold where he sits on a throne that is whiter than snow, and that city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of of an uncloudy day. Here we go, Dana. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives the sorrows all away. And they tell me that he'll never come again in that lovely land of uncloudy day. Oh, that land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Whoo! Hey, Mark, good job, buddy. He's shaking everybody's hand this morning. Good job. Amen. God is good all the time. Let's go to him in prayer this morning.
Our great and wonderful and loving God, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the rain we had, and thank you for the blessing of being here, God. Help us to fellowship well. Help us to worship you. And Father, we know that you've given Tommy the words that we need to hear. Help us to listen carefully and use them in our life. And we do thank you for all things. In Jesus' name and by his authority, amen.
I'm only human. Well, I'm just a woman. Lord, help me believe in all I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. And Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Well, just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me, I pray, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, you're looking below, and it's worse now than then. For they're pushing and shoving, they're crowding my mind. So, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Well, just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me, I pray, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me, I pray, show me the way, one day at a time. God bless y'all.
So, y'all can probably tell when I sing that we in practice Wednesday night. I've been sick, and that's my excuse, Tommy, all the time. So, anytime you don't ever preach good or you don't sing good or whatever, I've been sick. Patty, can you still?
Yeah, I agree. You're sick, all right.
Yeah. So Wednesday night, they were picking some songs out, and they were going through the filing cabinet back there, and they seen this song, and Matt said, "Oh, man, I like that song. Let's do that song." Ain't none of us on the stage ever even heard of this song before.
That's not true.
Now, you've heard it?
Yes, we've heard of it.
Maybe you ought to sing it.
We sang it. They sang it.
Is it up there? Come and Dine. Anybody know this song? Well, look here, I don't.
Strutters do.
All right, so.
We get to learn it.
Just remember, if I don't do good on this song, I don't know it, and I've been sick. All right, y'all ready? So if you know it, I expect you to sing, Katie. You ready? Jesus had a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites a church of people, come and dine with a dream of thank y'all very much. Every time, come and dine. The master's call it, come and dine. You may feed at Jesus' table all the time. He made it easy
to
turn the water into wine. I told you.
Now
the time. All right, Tracy, lead them, lady.
The disciples came to land, disobeying God's command, for the master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. This satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master called it, come and dine.
You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who has fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry, call it now, come and dine.
Come that the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth, now come and dine. To turn the water into wine. Do you call it now? Come and dine.
Oh, good job. They did good, didn't they?
He jinxed himself on that one. Yeah, he did. I think I've been set up. That's okay. We do always have each other's back because we make a lot of mistakes. Myself, I'm the first one to say I make a lot of mistakes.
Amen. But,
and I knew he would second that. Audie and I should have been siblings. We really should have. We'll probably fight in heaven.
I took after our mother.
We'll probably argue and fight back and forth in heaven. Just saying. But I hope when I pass on, somebody can take a look at my Bible. It needs probably a little more wear and tear on it, but I hope they do find this, that my Bible's well worn with use and reading, and that's what this song's about.
Hope they find my King James Bible worn around the edges and open to the Book of John. My favorite picture we made together down Bible Creek when we were just 21. I hope it's land. Find more good than bad when I'm good and gone. I hope my babies will make good neighbors, the kind you can count on when you're down. And I hope they'll sons and daughters, the things I taught them when I'm not around. I hope the sun shines the day they lay me down, and there's lots of flowers, and that line of friends is long, 'cause they found more good. I'm good and gone. I ain't leaving here today as far as I can see. I've got a list of things I plan on getting to. Oh, but how and when I leave this world ain't up to me. Oh, Lord, you find more good than bad when I'm good and gone. I hope you find more good than bad, and I hope they find my King James Bible worn around me.
I thank God for sense of humor. Because I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer today in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He died for my sins, and someday I'm going home. And I'm going to be a joker the rest of my dang life. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to have a good time. Because nobody likes a sourpuss, all right? So, it's okay to have a sense of humor and laugh. I mean, sense of humor, Tommy's preaching this morning. Good Lord. Thank you, God has a sense of humor. And I love you, brother. See, I pick on everybody. I don't mean nothing by that. But I'm telling you, put a smile on your face today. If you know Jesus, you got no reason to have your head down today.
Amen.
No matter what's going on. And whoever got bit by a copperhead, I'd have to see a heart doctor because I'd have a flipping heart attack. They wouldn't have to worry about my hand. Phew, I don't like that at all. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be.
Amen.
But I'm still a work in progress this morning.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord. And in my prayers, many times I've asked God, God, don't give up on me. You ever pray that? God, don't give up on me. Thank you, Lord. I know how to hold a grudge. I can send a bridge up in smoke. I can't count people I've let down, the hearts I've broke. You ain't gotta dig too deep if you wanna find some dirt on me. But I found that who I've been ain't who I've gotta be. It's gonna be an uphill climb. Oh, honey, I won't lie. I ain't no angel. I still got a few more dances with the devil. God's cleaning up my act little by little. I'm getting there. I can finally stand the man in the mirror I see. I ain't as good as I'm gonna get, but I'm better than I used to be. I've pinned a lot of demons to the ground. I got a few old habits left. There's one or two I might need you to help me get. Standing in the rain so long has helped me with a little rust. Put some faith in me and someday you'll see there's a diamond under all this dust. I ain't no angel. I still got a few more dances with the devil. God's cleaning up my act little by little. I'm getting there. I can finally stand the man in the mirror I see. I ain't as good as I'm gonna get, but I'm better than I used to be. I know I ain't. I've still got a few more dances with the devil. God's cleaning up my act little by little. I'm getting there. I can finally stand the man in the mirror I see. Ain't as good as I'm gonna get, but I'm better than I used to be. Ain't no doubt about that. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, y'all, turn to your Bibles in Mark chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 22. been thinking about a lot of, over the last several weeks, you know, we've been talking about prayer and I just thought that today would be a good time to kind of address the question a lot of us have, and that's, you know, why does it seem that God is not answering our prayers? And I think that's something that we all have had that feeling that maybe our prayers just aren't being answered. We've been talking for the last couple of weeks on prayer. I've talked to a lot of people. I've studied on prayer, and I've talked to a lot of people, and a lot of the same questions keeps coming up. But the one question that keeps coming up more than any is, you know, it just doesn't seem like God's answering my prayers. So let's talk about it for a few minutes, and let's see what Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says. So Jesus replied to them, "Have faith. Have faith in God. I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, all things you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your wrongdoings. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your wrongdoings." So one of the reasons that it may seem that God isn't answering our prayers is that maybe we've misunderstood what an answered prayer is or what it looks like. You ever feel like you're just, you know, you're praying and you keep praying for the same thing, but it doesn't really feel like you're reaching the ceiling, much less making it to God with your prayers, because you don't see any results. It may be that we've misunderstood that God answers prayers with one of three answers: yes, no, and not right now. I think a lot of times we have this, I gotta get rid of this pen, I'm gonna sit here and play with it all morning. I think a lot of times we have this cartoon figure character of God, or as Jeff calls it, a Santa Claus figure. You know, and it's like God is this genie in a bottle, and we're walking around rubbing this bottle, and he pops out and nodding his head and granting wishes. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. You know, it's not granting wishes. It's answering prayers. We just have to be diligent to hear what his answer is. It may be that we've been impatient, that we've forgotten that all things happen in God's time, not our time. So you're sitting there and you're praying, you know, God, I really want you to do this for me. I really want it. I want it really, really bad. All right, he didn't hear me. Let's try it again. God, I don't want it. I need it. I need it really, really bad. Can you please just answer this prayer for me? He ain't listening. He ain't answering my prayers. You ever been there? Ever had that? We live in a right now world. I should have God's answer immediately, right? Not exactly. Google can give me an answer right now. Why can't God? Google will give you an answer, all right? And I believe that Google answers questions with one of three answers: the right answer, the wrong answer, and the answer you're looking for. It may be that we've prayed without expecting an answer from God. We just pray because it's what we think we're supposed to do. We pray because someone asks us to. We pray because it's habit. You know, it's like I had a conversation with a guy here a while back, and he was talking about, you know, we've been praying for this individual that's sick, that you know, he's not going to make it. And you know, he said, "I've been praying for a miracle, and I've been praying for healing." And then he came to me and he said, "You know what?" He goes, "This guy's out of the hospital. He went home. He's back living by himself. He's well. How'd that happen?" And I said, "Well, you've been praying for healing, right?" "Yeah." I said, "You've been praying for a miracle, miraculous healing that only God can provide." "Yeah." I said, "Then that's how it happened." "But no, that ain't possible. It just happened. You just saw it." "Well, he had the best doctor in the country on his case, and he had the best team of surgeons in the best hospital in Dallas. And, I mean, that doctor's in Top Doc magazine. That explains it." Okay. We'll go with your version of the story, but I'm not gonna buy into it. Maybe we've been asking with wrong motives. In James 4, 1 through 8, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell within us? But he gives us more grace. That's why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So why do we ask with wrong motives? Because we're always thinking of ourselves. We're not thinking of God, we're thinking of ourselves. I mean, it's all about us anyway, right? It's not about anybody else but us, right? Wrong. One of the most memorable moments where God showed this to me is, and some of y'all have heard this story, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but, you know, I had a coworker that was a terrible person to be around. he was a tyrant, and I mean, couldn't get along with, nobody could get along with him, he couldn't get along with anybody, and I'd pray every morning going to work, God, I need you to change him. God, I want you to change his heart. You've got to do this, you've got to change this, you've got to change that for him. Make it easier for me to get along with him. Make him easier to get for everybody else to get along with. And I told God exactly what I expected him to do. Exactly how I wanted him to change him. But if we were talking about me, I didn't need to change. Because it wasn't, you know, I didn't have anything wrong with me. It was with that guy. So God, don't worry about me, but go fix him. And God revealed to me, after quite some time of praying this same prayer every morning going to work, that if I'd shut up and stop telling God what I wanted him to do, that he'd show me what he had in store for me. And that was to ultimately take me away from that career, take me away from that job, take me plumb out of that situation. That was not even on my radar. I kind of liked my job. But I didn't like the people I was around. And so I would, like I said, I was praying for God to change them, not change me, not change the situation, but change them. Another thought is, have we become more worldly thinking instead of godly thinking? Because the world tells us to think of ourselves first, right? Before we do anything, before we make a move, the world tells us, figure out what you're going to get out of it before you do that. Don't just go help somebody. Figure out what it's going to do for you if you go help them, right? I deserve the best. I should have what I want, when I want it, exactly how I want it. That's what the world tells us. It doesn't work out that way for us. Have we submitted ourselves to God's will? Are we, I had this thought in my mind, anyway, forget that. Are we ready for God to say jump and us ask him how high? Or are we standing there with our water pistols in our hands, ready to charge the gates of hell? And when God tells us to move, we say, thought he's talking about me there for a minute. Right? So are we prepared for God to say jump and we ask how high? Or when he says jump, we're like, whoop, he wasn't talking about me. I'm a big boy, I don't jump. Here's a good one. Maybe we didn't like God's answer. You heard me say time after time after time that when I begin to pray for God to put me somewhere he could use me, to put me somewhere that I could be used for his glory, not my own, ministry and preaching was not what I was talking about. It was the farthest thing from my mind. I mean, I wanted to be the guy out spreading rock in the parking lot or something like that. I don't want to be standing up here talking to y'all. Have any of us ever told God that I don't think you understood what I wanted your answer to be? One of the big ones that sticks out in my mind is praying for a place, to find a place to serve in our church or in any church. It says, you know, we could use you standing at the door to hand out the bulletins and shake hands. I really don't like people. Well, you know, the women's ministry, they have a salad supper once a year. That'd be something. I don't like crowds. Well, the outdoor ministry, you like to hunt and fish. They have a outdoor ministry. I don't really want to get involved in anything. Well, our children's ministry, our nursery, really, really need some help. You know, I don't really want to be responsible for anybody or anything, and I don't really want to be telling anybody what to do, especially kids. Well, we've got lots of work outside needs to be done. We got fences need to be fixed. Trees need to be trimmed. Grass needs to be mowed. You know, there's a place you can serve. I don't want to be the only one up here doing what needs to be done, and I ain't going to ask nobody for help. Any of that sound familiar? I'm reminded of the story of when God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to release the people of Israel. Told him, he said, you know, just go and tell him, turn him loose, free him. Moses says, but God, you know I don't speak well. I don't talk good. I get tongue-tied. You know, people can't understand what I say half the time. Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. God said, okay, that's fine. Take your brother Aaron. He'll speak for you, but go anyway. How many of us, when we get to the part where we say, you know I can't speak good, I can't talk in front of people, that's where we forget it, right? God's urging us to keep moving forward, keep going on. But we got an excuse why we can sit over here on the sidelines and watch somebody else do it. It's like wanting a better paying job, but not wanting to leave the job you're in. You don't want to drive nowhere else. You don't want to go to work for another company. You don't want to, dang sure don't want to work any more hours or work any harder than you already do, but you really want a better paying job. I want to conclude with a few things, a quote and a few thoughts and questions. A quote by David A. Bednar says, prayer is a privilege and the soul's sincere desire. We can move beyond routine or checklist prayers and engage in meaningful prayer as we appropriately ask in faith and ask and act as we patiently persevere through the trials of our faith and as we humbly acknowledge and accept, not my will, but thine will be done. Did any of y'all ever remember when I was a kid, it was on Channel 13. Is Channel 13 still a deal? I don't know. But there was a guy on there. He was a Cajun cook named Justin Wilson. I think his show was called Cajun Cuisine. Did y'all ever hear the story of the preacher in the flood? So when I was studying on this and putting this message together, this story of Justin's come to me, and it goes like, had a big bad flood, and the preacher crawls up on top of the roof of the church, and he's standing there, he's leaning on the steeple, and he's praying to God for God to come and rescue him, come save him. One of the neighbors comes paddling up in a rowboat, and he says, hey, preacher, get off the roof of that building, get in this boat, let's go to safety. The preacher said, no, brother. He said, God's going to save me. I'm praying that God will come and save me. The neighbor says, well, I can't hang around here and watch you drown. I'm gone. A little bit later, farmer from down the street comes paddling up in another rowboat, and he says, hey, preacher, come on, get in the boat, let's go. Let's go to safety. The preacher said, nope. He said, I'm praying for God to save me. God's going to save me. You just watch. Well, by this time, the water is about this far from the top of the steeple, and this preacher is hanging on for dear life. He got two knuckles and a nose sticking up out of the water, and the National Guard flies over with a helicopter, and they put a guy down on the cable, and the guy says, hey, preacher, come on, we got to go. It's fixed to be over with. You got to go with me. He says, no, brother. He says, God's going to save me. He says, I'm praying for God to save me. When the preacher drowns, and he gets to heaven, he tells God, he goes, God, I waited on you. Why did you save me? I prayed that you was going to save me. God said, man, I sent you two rowboats and a helicopter. What else did you want? I close with a couple of questions and one of my thoughts. The first question is God not answering our prayers, or are we not listening to the answer God gives us? Is God not answering our prayers, or are we not answering, or are we not listening to the answer he's given us? The other question is the answer that God gave us not the answer we wanted? Is the answer he gave us not the answer we wanted? Something I want you to think about as a close today. If we're asking God to move in us and answer our prayers, are we ready to accept his answer and move for him? Let's close in prayer, guys. Lord God, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for just pushing me to step out of my comfort zone, Lord, and just speak for you, Lord. And I thank you so much for speaking through me. Lord, I lift up each and everybody here. I lift up each and every one of the prayer requests that was mentioned here this morning, Lord. We just lay them at your feet and ask that your will be done in their lives, Lord, not ours. But we ask for traveling mercies as we leave here and go home. Bring us back again next week. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.